It's a preaching, and do it quick, Lord. Amen. Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning for the time that we have with those that mean most to me, my wife, my church, my pastors, and the ones that I have shared my life with and I live my life with. I just started my watch for Dana. Make sure that she has time. We're going to have hopefully time for some testimony, but we're halfway into this month of healing, and began with Sue talking about our physical healing, and then passed off to Lynn and Gaynor on Sozo, inner healing, and I'd like to take us a little bit further into it this morning. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to close your eyes and put out both hands. And in your right hand, I'd like you to imagine every physical compromise ailment that you have, whether it be a cut, a bruise, a sprain, something that isn't healing, a condition that a doctor has called out and hasn't yet resolved. That is all in your right hand. And then in your left hand is everything else. Everything else. The issues of life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, out of our heart flows the issues of life. Sam, can you put up Jeremiah 33:6 for us? This has been our theme verse for this month. It says, behold, I will bring it health and healing, right hand, and I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth, left hand. And then Galatians 5:1, please, which Pastor Steve has also shared with us this month. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And the Freedom Encounter addresses yokes of bondage. I firmly believe that good news should be shared. It should be spread. Over the 15 years that Shirley and I and our team have ministered in the area of the Freedom Encounter, God has privileged us to take it and share it to distant places, to South America, more recently to Thailand, to China, and actually to have our Freedom Encounter material translated into the languages there. So God has shown us that our ministry is to be a reproductive ministry. Okay, we seed and sow and let God go from there. Total healing is left hand and right hand. And the Freedom Encounter that we're going to be having the first 2 weeks in February talk about the left hand and the right hand as well. Now, I've always assumed that that people know what inner healing is. Well, I find out from time to time that not everybody is on the same page for inner healing. I was back there couple of years ago, and a lady came by, and I was, of course, talking about the Freedom Encounter, and she said, well, what's that? And I said, oh, it's about inner healing. She says, oh, is it about super vitamins? You know, because, you know, not everybody's on the same page. So what I decided to do was to start this off, we all start at the same place, and just talk about what is inner healing? What are we talking about here? Okay, and I'm going to use a something that Shirley and I did. A month or so ago, all of us were enjoying the Christmas holidays, and Shirley had gone through all the Christmas movies, and then she said, hey, honey, let's find a movie that we can watch together, and she also said, let's find one where you won't fall asleep. So we thumbed through the on-demand movies and came up with this one, which was common ground to both of us. And so, Sam, could you please play a little clip for us? And this will tell you what the movie was.
A fiddler.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so it's a fiddler on the roof. And all of us have seen it. It's been around for a long time. It just happens that it fits well within our church because we have a strong culture in Israel and Jewish tradition. Well, just to remind you, the story is about this poor Jewish dairy farmer. His name is Tevye. And Tevye is very traditional. Tradition. And, you know, this is a musical. So he sings his tradition song throughout the musical. And because he's a poor dairy farmer in the whole village that he is in, which is a Jewish village embedded in Russia, is poor also. He has five daughters, three which are ready to be married. And he constantly encounters issues in life that challenge his tradition. And it seems that whenever he is trying to resolve his issue, people always have something to say to him. Of course, this is a musical. So when he has an issue, then the music breaks out and his wife will sing to him her viewpoint and his daughters sing to him their viewpoint. The neighbors sing to him. In fact, if his horse, which he uses to pull his cart for his dairy urns, if his horse could speak, I'm sure his horse would have spoken to him what he should be doing. Well, there's one particular clip that I'm not going to show, but I'll just explain that kind of typifies how he goes about resolving his issue. And it's what I call resolving by three hands. Three hands. So the situation is that he's walking across a bridge, pulling his cart because his horse is lame, of course, and he encounters one of his daughters holding hands with a friend. And so he says good morning to them, and then they say to them, we have some news for you, Father. Or she says, we have some news for you, Father. He says, oh, what's that? And he says, we're going to be married. Okay, now that's not fictitious. That's exactly what happened to Shirley and myself with our son years ago. You know, we were sitting with him and all of a sudden, out of the blue, guess what? We're going to be married. I'm going to be married. I said, we go, what? So he has to resolve. How is he going to do that? Now, the thing in it is that the daughter and her boyfriend say, we don't want your permission, but we want your blessing. So he's anguishing. How am I going to resolve this? Okay, how can I? Because and he goes through his three hands, wringing of hands. In his mind, and this all plays out on the film, he says, well, on the one hand, if I don't bless them, they'll never be happy. He says, but on the other hand, if they don't seek my approval, and yet I let them be married, I go against my tradition. Okay, so, and then where's the third hand? Well, the third hand goes to heaven. Okay, because then he looks up into the sky and he says, well, God, you put love in their heart, so why don't you resolve it? You take care of it, okay? Doesn't that sound like us, right? We go about and says, God, you take care of it, because I can't figure this out. Well, it didn't show on the screen, but... Oh, it is there? Oh, you can't see it. Oh, you'd like it. Yeah, I would like it. Right, okay, so... Let me look my time. Okay, I think I'm going to skip that one because I need to move on. If you know the picture that represents Fiddler on the Roof, it's a fiddler on the roof. And it seems like, oh, such a, seems kind of a strange picture to have. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever tried playing violin. Anybody ever? Anybody ever try and draw? Okay. If you ask any of these people, brave souls that put their hand up, they'll tell you, this is hard, right? Because what comes out is not what you expect. And it takes a long time to figure out how to draw your bow and have the energy of the draw funnel through this little, and I'll use a word that we all feel comfortable with, this little portal, okay, and out comes a beautiful sound. It's not easy. Okay, it's like learning how to whistle. Remember, when you learn how to whistle, it's not just blowing harder. You have to, like, funnel it just right, and then it comes out just beautiful. Okay, well, we have this fiddler who is playing his song of what? Song of his life, standing on top of a gabled roof. Okay, 1 foot here, 1 foot there. He's trying to play his song of life, moving from one side to the other on this steep roof, slipping one way, slipping the other way. When you lose that portal, okay, you're out. Okay, that's how come Diana says, how come, Steve, you sound like you're squeaking? It's because I left the portal. Yeah, it's because I left the portal. I slipped out, okay? So you have to really remain stationary. That's why I'm not dancing around here on the stage. I gotta keep it real stable. Let's bring it into the context of us as believers. And us, Sam, can I have Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 24? As this comes up, okay, I will read it very quickly, skip across these verses. This is our Apostle Paul speaking. And he's in a dilemma, because we all know that Paul was always trying to reconcile the fact that he was bringing the news to the Gentiles, and yet he himself was a Jew. Okay, and there was this tension in him. And let's see what he has to say. I'm going to read my version of it, which I think you can follow, and I'm going to skip through it. For what I, Paul, am doing, I do not understand. For what I do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I do not do, it is no longer I who do it, but him who dwells in me. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bring me into captivity, into the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. He's in this dilemma. Okay, have you ever been there? Oh, have you ever felt, oh, wretched am I? Because of where you are. Yet at the same time, Paul is the same person. Paul says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. Somehow he was able to figure it out. Okay, he figured out that the way to do this is through transformation. Now, captivity is a word that we use a lot in the Freedom Encounter. What is captivity? It's a place where you can't move. And it's a place not only where you are, but your issue is there with you. Okay, and you cannot move because you're in this confined place. It might be a physical situation. It might be, you physically can't. But it might be irreconcilable events in your life. It might be distressful issues, a place where you cannot live. You can be captive by poverty, by loneliness, by worry, okay, by fear, by futility, by what's happening today, and by the things that happened to you many years ago. The Freedom Encounter involves 2 weekends where we teach about our places of captivity and what to do about them. Now, a few weeks now, I began a ministry with a fellow, and he sat down in the ministry room, and he said, "I don't know where to start to talk about," because his life was like a ball of string that had just rolled down the hill and became entangled, entangled, entangled. He said, "I don't know where to start." And I told him, "Start any place." Okay? And I told him that we're not trying to solve it, and I'm not giving you any advice, but just start talking. Wherever you are, start talking. And he said, "Well, how is that going to help?" Well, because I am familiar with the Freedom Encounter, I said, "What I'm going to do is that I'm going to lay out a compass for us." Okay, so Sam, can you put out a compass, the JPEG on the compass, please, for us to see? Okay, a compass shows us direction. Shows us north, south, and west, and east, okay? And it tells us where things lie with respect to this compass. In our Freedom Encounter, we have a compass, and it involves 4 tracks, 4 directions, that basically tells us where we lie when we have issues. North is our generational tendencies. Okay, what do we mean by general tendencies? Okay, all of us came from moms and dads, and they came from their moms and dads, and so on and so on and so on. Okay, and we know that we take on great resemblance to our parents and to our grandparents and to those before them. We have the same physical characteristics. Our eyes are the same color. We tend to age the same way that they aged, and but also, we share their feelings, too. We share their crises, their hopes, and whatever. And so, in the Freedom Encounter, in this first track, we talk about how our great, 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 okay, passed on their personalities, their traits onto us. How can that happen? Okay, now, there's some people that says, you know, I'm only responsible for myself. That cannot happen, you know. And we've been in the Freedom Encounter. We freely use science, okay, where appropriate, where it strengthens our faith. And when we teach the Freedom Encounter, we talk a little bit about our genetics and our genes. And I've been doing a little bit more recent reading, which says that our genes are not just genes as we usually think of them that give us our brown eyes or blue eyes or whatever, but they also have been discovering that genes can be soft, are pliable, okay? They can be affected, okay? An easy place to connect is that when we worry, we get sick. When we worry, we get sick. So and Satan is, I know he's under our feet, but he's also very cunning, too. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, don't go to that, Sam, please. It says, "Do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't let him outsmart you." Okay? It's really a cat and mouse game. And I don't mention Satan because I like to. I don't like to give him airtime. Okay? But in this particular instance, he's behind it. So we need to be aware that he's out there like a lion, trying to grab us, trying to keep us in our places of captivity. Generational, north, south, it's our emotional experiences. Okay, when we go through life, people say things to us, and some of it sometimes is not very appropriate, not very nice, and we come to believe it as being a truth. Okay, we've seen this before again and again. For example, when people say, "Oh, what a chubby little kid," Okay, you have, what a wonderful chubby little kid. You know, it's when you're a kid, what stays with you is not the wonderful, it's the chubbiness. Okay, and we've seen this, and we talk about, you know, how these lies, okay, can begin to embed themselves in our belief system about ourselves. Then, very soon, okay. Then we talk about the dark places in which we have walked, okay? That is, our culture, our graven images. Okay, those of you who are going to Thailand, you'll see it in abundance there. It's really, really obvious. Those of you who have gone says, wow-wee, I never knew that you can make a living by making graven images, but that's what's there. But there are graven images within our own culture, too. You know, you go through the newspaper, you go through television ads and stuff like that, and I don't need to call them out because you know what they are, okay? And then we have our ungodly beliefs. That is, we believe things which are not really from God, and how they got embedded in us, well, that's the story that we talk about in the Freedom Encounter. So I'm going to have Dana come in and talk about her own experience, and then I'll continue on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Steve, for asking me to come and share a little bit about what Jesus has done for me recently through the restoration ministry. Thank you.
Can you hear me? There we go. Good morning. I'm Dana Herman, and my husband Paul and I have been through the Freedom Encounter. We have also personally taken advantage of signing up with the restoration ministry for personal ministry throughout the years. I've been walking with the Lord for 32 years, and very early in my journey was introduced to inner healing and deliverance ministry, for which I'm very grateful. And when I was at Fuller Seminary in 88-ish, was very active in an inner healing and deliverance ministry team. So I'm not a total neophyte, but it's amazing some of the things that you do learn. Since early on in my walk with the Lord, I became very pro-life. Jesus is very pro-life. And I was concerned for both the life of the unborn child and also for the mother and the father, and so many decisions and shame and guilt and damage that they were experiencing as well. In fact, last Friday was the 43rd anniversary of the legalizing of the murder of the unborn in the womb here in America, and it's estimated that 58 million unborn babies have died, and countless mothers and fathers who are walking around with shame and guilt and damaged emotions as well. So I have great empathy for them and concern too. So in just to context, in the past, Paul and I, when we lived in Orange County, we've been involved in prayer walking and led teams to pray at abortion clinics as well as other sites. And so fast forward here to September 2012, when the Lord called us to Jubilee Church, and we moved to Camarillo. So 2 months after we came to Jubilee at the fall conference, we met Vicki Norden, who one of the organizations she leads is the California Reformation Prayer Network. And we became involved in that ministry. And you'll see how this all fits together in a second. I'm going quickly. A couple months after that, the Prayer Network began an abortion initiative where we're calling prayer intercessors to go to every county throughout the state to physically go pray at every abortion clinic. And Paul and I felt led to say yes and do that. And we went and personally prayed over 22 abortion clinics throughout Ventura County and into Los Angeles counties, just the two of us, okay? The following month after that prayer, and all that 22 prayers took place in about 10 days. The following month after that, Paul was walking our two dogs just a few doors from our house on the sidewalk, and a neighbor's dog got off leash and attacked our female dog, Molly, severely injuring her, ripping open her abdomen, breaking two bones in her leg. She had two surgeries. She was in a metal immobilizer on her leg for over 6 months. We were rehabbing her for 9 months, and it was a lot of emotional and financial drain. Then the following month, I got a new job. I was excited about the ministry. I'd been unemployed for 9 months, and the second week of my new job had a very freaky allergic reaction. I had worn at that time acrylic fingernails for 25 years. And in the middle of the night, I woke up in excruciating pain with my fingernails and ended up having to go to ER. They had to do minor surgery on three of my fingers. It was really bizarre. And almost lost that job and was in a lot of pain for a couple months, but thank you, Jesus, he preserved the job. 4 months later, my right shoulder started hurting very, very deeply in the joint. And it escalated and became what is called frozen shoulder. And my joint was immobilized and in excruciating pain. But Jesus sustained me working through it all. 3 months later, I was diagnosed with a grapefruit-sized tumor on my ovary. And they thought it was cancerous. And then 3 months after that, had surgery. And praise you, Jesus, everything was successful and no cancer. So thank you, Lord. 3 months after that, we had an electrical fire in our living room in our home. Thankfully, Paul and I were in the room and smelled the smoke, saw the smoke. We all safely evacuated. There was minor damage to our home. In fact, Shirley and Steve came to pray for me and bring dinner that day and saw the electrical damage and everything. But praise you, Jesus, we were alive and we were all safe. I was then laid off with a few months later from my job due to the length of the disability. But again, thank you, Jesus, for continued healing and for disability income. And then 5 months later, this November, I was on a sidewalk a few doors from our house walking our dogs, and I tripped and fell. I cracked my left kneecap in half, broke my elbow, damaged tendons. I'm not accident prone, believe it or not. I had never broken a bone, never fallen before. And no surgery, though, was needed on either bone, even though the doctors had said surgery would be needed. And also, Jesus has done a major accelerated healing. The orthopedist and even the physical therapist are amazed by my recovery. So again, I praise you, Jesus. Now, Steve Kwan, while Shirley was in Thailand this last time, God bless him, he made a meal and came to bring while I was recovering. And he asked me where the fall was. It was on the same sidewalk where our dog Molly was attacked about 10 feet from there. Now, sometimes when you're in the muck and the mire and the pain and you're in the trauma and going through these things, you don't get the same perspective as an objective observer seeing things. And he goes, I think there's something going on here. Thank you, Steve. Well, Satan overplayed his hand, right? You know, I'm really starting to pray and sensing the connection to the life traumas, the pain, the poor health, the financial setbacks. So I make an appointment with a restoration ministry 2 weeks ago, and I shared that I was really sensing the spiritual connection between Paul and I praying over the 22 abortion clinics, and then almost the next month, kaboom, 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 kaboom. And I'm not even sharing with you all the stuff. There's even other things I could share. So I was so grateful that Bev and Linda and Richard, the team that were there to pray for me, and they started praying especially, and Richard Woldham immediately started getting revelation about what had happened. So let me share a little bit. There was a person who contracted a curse with a high-level warlock in Europe, and I don't want to get into all the details because I don't want to give glory to the enemy, but he put out a curse because the prayers that we prayed at the abortion clinics cost this person a lot of money. So I say, praise Jesus that many abortions were not performed and lives saved because of our prayers, right? Praise Jesus. But this person put out a curse with this warlock, and there would be a time-released curse continually tripping me up and taking revenge on my health and our finances. Kind of sounds what had been like what had been happening, right? So the curse was an iniquity on Satan that's from Satan, whose purpose is to kill, steal, and to destroy. You know, he's very pro-death, unlike our Jesus. But I am alive, and his will was not done. And Jesus protected me. You know, the good news, it states in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So Richard led me in a prayer forgiving the person who put out the contract, forgiving the person who placed the curse, and also I blessed them. And then Linda and Bev and Richard, they prayed the rest and did the rest of the praying as I just received. You know, and this is the really important part. You know, I had prayed many times before over these issues during the past 3 years alone, but I hadn't gotten the full revelation and the breakthrough. Sometimes God purposes that we need to go to brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, some with more objectivity, some as prayer specialists, who will carry us and our needs before the throne of grace. And they will hear from heaven and pray for us in order for us to receive our breakthrough. So thanks to the prayers of the Restoration Ministry team and God's perfect timing, Jesus broke the curse over me, Paul, and our family. Thank you, Jesus, that we are no longer under a curse. You know, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every curse, to break every chain. There is power and life in the supernatural blood of Jesus over every assignment of the enemy. And our Father has plans for his children to bless and not curse. And so I'm standing and believing on Deuteronomy 28:1-13, believing and declaring the blessings of God over our life. So thank you, Jesus, for what you have done and are doing and will do. To you be all glory and honor. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider participating in this year's Freedom Encounter. Paul and I will be there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you see one of the tracks being overlaid in her life? One of the tracks was there on the occult track, that is the curses track. We talk more about it, you know, in the Freedom Encounter so that we can lay it down on our grid, okay? But the important thing is that in the encounter, we make a separation between what we call fruit and what we call the root. And the fruit is what we see in people doing and where they are, but the root is what put them there. Yeah, what put them there? That's what we go after, not the fruit. Okay. As long as we only go for fruit and not root, all we're doing is this. We got to go for the root. Okay. So I'm going to wrap it up here. Let me just say that we just don't talk about the bad things that happen. There's a whole lot of good things that happen in our life through the Freedom Encounter. Because in our release to freedom, we are doing it not just for ourselves, but for our generations. Shirley and I are in the midst of rewriting our family trust. And family trusts are, it's what you have. And what we have here on earth is also inhabited by rusts and moths, right? Okay. But it is the things which are eternal. So Shirley and I are doing what we do because we're establishing our eternal family trust for all our kids, all grandkids, and thereafter, down to 1,000 generations. And that's where we take our joy. And all that comes about because of the blessings that flow as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So please come on Wednesday, and my wife will be talking more in depth about it. We invite you to come to the Tom after the service, and we'll have someone there to answer any other questions that you might have. And please come and see us, and we hope to see you as well. Thank you. God bless you.
Steve, why don't you, let's all stand, and I'd like you just to pray over us as we step into this weekend.
Father, we ask, Lord, that this month of healing, Lord, in all dimensions would extend beyond a month, Lord. Mm-hmm. Extend into the year, yes, and even to the rest of our lives, Lord. Father, that our desire, Lord, is to run the race free from shackles, free from the things that are put out in front of us in any form, Lord, that keep us from where you want us to go, Lord. So I just ask, Father, that the Freedom Encounter will only mark the beginning of a lifelong journey, mm-hmm, that will lead us, mm-hmm, to the Father's throne in the Father's hand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Jeremiah 33:6, and I will give it.